I'm going to open with prayer. Jesus, Holy Spirit, I invite you into this place. I invite you to fill our hearts and our minds. I invite you to fill me, that it would not be my words, Lord, that would be spoken, but it would be what you have given me on my heart to say this day. Thank you that I can speak of you here without anybody barging in and putting an end to this. The people who have fought for our freedoms, I'm blown away. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1867, some deeply caring women of Columbus, Mississippi, decorated not only the graves of their own dead, who had given their lives for the great Civil War, which had just ended, but also the graves of the Northern soldiers who were also buried there. This extremely noble act inspired others to do the same, and an annual custom eventually became nationwide, which is Memorial Day. It has become a beautiful day of tribute, celebrated with music, parades, speeches, decorating the graves of those who have died in the wars of our nation. They paid the ultimate price so that we could be free. American warriors from every branch have given their lives for our land, our liberty, and our health. God bless those pioneers who have sacrificed the security of homeland to carve out of the wilderness of America what we see before us today. We will never forget. May we never forget the first group who were poorly clothed, half-starved, badly equipped, faced death in order to secure our nation. When I stop and I think about today, and I prayed about what it is that God was impressing upon my heart, well, it changed quite a few times over the course of this week, but we are not the only nation in the world who invites our soldiers to go out and die for what they believe in. The problem is, in many nations of the world, the very things that they are told that they give their lives for just simply are not true. They cannot understand what it is to give your life in exchange for another. Jesus, the supreme sacrifice, the supreme example of what it is that we look at for someone who gave their life for other people. Jesus knew how dark our sin was. God knew the depths of our heart and how evil man is. And he said, yes, there is a war going on. It is spiritual. There is a war going on in the heavenly realms, in this very place. God said, yes. Jesus, being fully man and fully God, gave himself sacrificially so that we may live, just as the men and women have given their lives that we may live free in this country. We have freedom in Christ from what he has done on the cross for us. Jesus was human. He had reservations in the Gethsemane. Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. because he knew what awaited him. Soldiers on the battlefield know what await, the possibilities. We as Christians who are asked to follow Christ in his footsteps must also count the cost of what it means to be a Christian, especially in this day and age. We have been called to a higher sacrifice. We have been called to walk the footsteps of Christ. Why was Jesus put to death? Well, we know the reason why he gave his life. But when we examine Scripture, we ask the question, what is the reason that they wanted to kill him? Jesus was put to death for proclaiming that he was God, that he could forgive sin, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. Period. In John chapter 18, verses 19 through 20, it says, the high priests questioned Jesus about his followers and his teaching. Jesus told these people, I have spoken freely in front of everyone, and I have always taught in our meeting places and in the temple where all of the people come together. I have not taught in secret. Jesus openly proclaims the gospel that God has sent his Son to reconcile the world from sin into relationship with himself. That the depth of our depravity did not stop him from giving his life for us. And he did it openly. He proclaimed it in the synagogues. He showed people through signs and miracles that he was God. He didn't hide. He didn't have a secret little meeting with, occasionally he did with his disciples, but what happened from this was he told his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He told us, the people, to go and to proclaim as he did in wherever you are. And the result of that proclamation cost the lives of many, many people. To fight for the gospel, to fight for what truth is, requires the life of many. Acts chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 48, and we're going to go chapter 8, verse 2 to end. And this is the stoning of Stephen. Verse 48. But the Most High God doesn't live in houses made by humans. It is just as the prophet said when he spoke for the Lord. And Stephen is addressing a council here. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me? In what place will I rest? I have made everything. As Stephen was quoting, he says, you stubborn and hard-hearted people, you are always fighting against the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors did. Is there one prophet that your ancestors didn't mistreat? They killed the prophets who told about the coming of the one who obeys God, and now you have turned against him and killed him. Angels gave you God's law, but you still don't obey it. When the council members heard Stephen's speech, they were angry and furious. But Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked towards heaven, where he saw our glorious God and Jesus standing at his right side. I can't even imagine. Oh my goodness. Then Stephen said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God. Amen. The council members shouted and covered their ears. At once they all attacked Stephen and dragged him out of the city. Then they started throwing stones at him. The men who had brought charges against him put their coats at the feet of the young man named Saul. As Stephen was being stoned to death, he called out, Lord Jesus, please welcome me. He knelt down and shouted, Lord, don't blame them for what they have done. And then he died. Saul approved the stoning of Stephen, and some faithful followers of the Lord buried Stephen and mourned very much for him. The exact same thing that Christ calls his followers to do is exactly what Stephen did. As the words echoed in my ears this week, Lord, don't blame them for what they have done. It's Jesus. Lord, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is the cry of the martyr. Lord, you are the greatest. Who is above you in all things? Stephen, seeing God, seeing Jesus at his right hand, gave his life for the very truth that would set people free. He proclaimed before people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, he did. He lost his life for it. And so did so many others. Nero was absolutely horrible. And the things that he did to Christians, when I read it, it literally made my skin crawl. Nero would drag people in the streets until they were dead, limbs tore off, ears, noses, cut out eyes, fingers, melt lead over people. They were beheaded, drowned, crucified, ground between stones, torn by wild beasts, smoldered. As horrible as these events are, they served a purpose. You see, when we confess to be Christians, we need not take it lightly, because to be a Christian is to be Christ-like and willing to endure the things that Christ endured. He shed his precious blood in order that millions of followers may have life. Not just life on this earth, but life eternally. This is not your home. Your home is awaiting you. It is to come still. We live in the life that Christ has given us now. And we await our reward still. Reports and legends abound as to what happened to the 12 disciples after they kind of stopped talking about them in the New Testament. But there was always a philosophy that was held: be faithful to Christ no matter what the cost. Jesus' disciples came to live by this. And in the first and second centuries, many Christians had to face that very same decision. Am I going to be faithful to Christ, or do I save my own life? An 80-year-old bishop named Timothy tried to halt a procession in honor of the goddess Diana by preaching the very gospel of Jesus Christ. It is rumored that angry pagans beat him and dragged him into the streets and stoned him to death. Peter and Paul were both martyred in Rome in 66 AD during the persecution under Nero. Paul was beheaded instead of crucified because Roman citizens were normally not crucified. They were beheaded for crimes instead. Peter was crucified, but his request was granted when he asked to be crucified upside down. Barnabas was stoned to death. Andrew went into the Soviet Union and, for preaching the gospel, was martyred. Doubting Thomas was active in Syria, and he claimed, and from stories, he was claimed to be run through by spears. Philip had a powerful ministry in Carthage in North Africa. He was also put to death. Matthew, the tax collector and the writer of a gospel, ministered in Persia and Ethiopia. Some of the oldest reports say that maybe he wasn't actually martyred, but there again. Simon the Zealot and Jude, as the stories go, ministered in Persia and were killed after refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. Matthias was an apostle chosen to replace Judas. Tradition sends him to Syria with Andrew, and they were killed by burning. Polycarp was a disciple of John, who, after becoming a bishop, spending 80 years, he stood before the magistrate and said these words, 86 years I have been serving Christ, and he has never done me wrong. So you ask me to renounce him, but how can I blaspheme the king who has saved me? Refusing to recant, he was bound to a stake and burned before the multitudes after uttering this final prayer. Wherefore I praise you also for everything, bless you, glorify you, eternal high priest Jesus Christ, both now and forever in the ages to come. John was the only apostle who was not martyred. So I guess if you're the beloved, maybe that's a good thing. He took care of much and wrote the book, The Revelation. We are at war in this country, believe it or not. We're at war against false doctrine. We are at war against things that are being preached right now in this very city that are blasphemous and against the Word of God. At the place that I work at, we had to come up with a statement of faith for all employees to sign. Because if we didn't, well, we found out what happens when you don't. And it was not okay. We lost quite a few. There is a trend going on right now in the United States that monotheism preaches one God, not a Trinity. It is wrong. We are at war against these very things. People gave their lives for theology, the study of the Word, the truth that is contained in Scripture. I read this week, this is not mine, but it really caught me off guard. Because of one sin in the garden, because of one, the picking of the fruit, disobedience to God and what they have told him, all manner of destruction came from one sin. Plagues, hurricanes, earthquakes, everything came from one sin. Death came from one sin. I have sinned millions of times in my life, and the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven. He has died to forgive. Many others had to protect doctrine that was the truth. I read about one such man. I'd never heard of him before, but his testimony is completely incredible. In 1555, a man named Roland Taylor, never heard of him, if you have, good, spoke against what was going on in the church at the time. Queen Mary was in power, and all he had to do was preach a sermon that would not offend the church at the time and the doctrine that was being preached, which was some things about marriage, baptism being a salvation work, and the very blood and body of Christ embodying communion. And there were some other things that he just didn't have to teach on those things. He could have just preached a safe sermon and been done, and he could have gone home. So he was asked to stand and to preach. The queen was watching. And he was convicted in his heart by the Spirit as he recants in his journal. And he says, I could have just preached something safe, but I didn't. I preached the truth. I preached the truth of the gospel as it has been passed down and passed down and passed down, and it wasn't changed. And because he chose to preach the truth of Jesus Christ and give defense over things that are true in Scripture, he was arrested, excommunicated, and sentenced to death. He was stripped of all his garments and titles. He was offered a Last Supper with his family. Taylor exchanged brief words, as what I've read here, with his family, and he said, I say to my wife and to my children, the Lord gave you unto me, and the Lord has taken me from you, and you from me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe that they are blessed which die in the Lord. God careth for sparrows and the hairs on our head. I have ever found him more faithful and favorable than any other father or husband in existence. Trust ye therefore in him by the means of our dear Savior Jesus Christ. Merit, believe, love, fear, and obey him. Pray to him, for he has promised to help. Count me not dead, for I certainly live and never die. I go before, and you shall follow after to our long-awaited home. How can you say that in the face of death, in the face of what that man was about to go through? And many others that I read about looked at their brothers who were being burned with them and said, Brother, rejoice, for tonight we feast as kings. People praised and sung joyous songs to the Lord in the midst of their death. That is amazing. There is one thing that struck me throughout all the study this week that I did. It all comes down to one thing. Persecution and the things that martyrs went through were because they proclaimed out loud the gospel of Jesus Christ. They proclaimed to their neighbors, they proclaimed in the streets, they proclaimed in the synagogues, they proclaimed in front of people who they knew they had a choice. If I play it safe, no problem, I get to go home. If I preach the truth, death awaits me. I choose the truth. People are not persecuted for staying silent in what they believe. As you sit at home and you study Scripture and you worship the Lord, there is a stirring in your heart to proclaim him. Roland Taylor didn't just love the gospel. He loved people who needed to hear about Jesus Christ and the good news of salvation and reconciliation to God. When you know the depths of God's love for the lost, you will lose your life for their salvation. I like movies. I was going through one of them this week, Lord of the Rings. I do like those movies. One of the sayings in Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, King Theoden stands up after a war, and he looks at the men who are around him, and he says, tonight we remember those who gave their blood in defense of this country. Hail the victorious dead. And as soon as I heard that, my mind went to all the martyrs. for they're not dead. Hail the victorious that live with Christ. Hail the victorious that reign with Christ. Hail the victorious who stand, as Revelation said, before the throne and worship the Lamb day and night. Victorious are they who stood for Christ and did not cave when they had a chance to. How should we live then in light of all this? That's the question, because we're not at that point yet. Karen, you hit the nail on the head when you said, I think you were saying yet. we have to stand, and we have a choice to proclaim truth, even in this very nation, to our neighbors and our coworkers and the people around us who do not know Christ, and to even those who claim to know Christ that have fallen into doctrine that is just not true. People have given their life for this, that we today may understand the truth of the gospel. Have you ever thought about that before? What would happen if people didn't give their lives for the gospel? What would that even look like today? What about if people just said, yeah, that's fine, that doctrine over there, whatever, let it go. We don't have to defend that. We don't have to do anything with that. I don't even know what our scripture would look like today. I praise God for these people. I praise God for what he's doing in the hearts of the people here and what he wants to do in us. We must come to a point where Jesus isn't just a part of our lives, but the very life and breath that we breathe, and not conforming Christ around our lives when it's convenient to us, but conforming our life that God has given us through Jesus Christ to his will and what the Holy Spirit is calling us to. The will is what is the key point that we have to look at. The will is the ability to choose, to think, to act voluntarily. And yes, we have been given free will. Amen. Praise God for that. But our will is also the problem. Because my ability to choose, to think, and to act says that I am a selfish, self-centered human being, that many mornings when I am called to pray and called to read scripture, where's my coffee? I have to die to me. I have to die to my choices. I have to die to my wants. I'm not calling everything inherently evil. I'm not. But as Christ said in the garden, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, is the very thing that I need to ask myself. Is Christ's will being done in me? Father, is your will being done? I hate to say it, but most of the time I would have to answer honestly, no. I was so convicted and moved by this week. It has given me perspective on a great many things. And when I stopped to think about it, and Kyra asked me, she's like, that's great, but how are we going to do that? Because we know that there's a problem. Well, there's many different ways you can do it. The simple thing would just be for me to tell you all to go back to college and take out loans and get educated. But as I look around this room right now, there are godly men and women sitting right here who know the truth of the gospel, who would love to wrap their arms around you and just say, come, let's learn together. What is it that God is saying, and why is he saying it? Not just that I'm taking it at face value, but I want to know why. And in the why, we figure out what it is that God did. In the why, we figure out the theology of what it is that we believe. The other thing that came to mind this week as I was assaulted and confronted by it was my own fears of failure in life. I fear that maybe I don't have it quite right, or maybe I need to go back and relook at some things before I run in and tackle this. Michael Jordan said, "To learn to succeed, you must first learn to fail." Believe it or not, Michael Jordan was not always the best basketball player. And in high school, he actually was denied being on the team, from what I've read. So forgive me, Michael, if that's not true. The reason why doctrine gets skewed is because pastors are not exploring God the way they should. Mike, you said it today. Are we seeking the heart of God? Because Scripture tells us all who seek will find. So are you seeking God above yourself? Can you put yourself aside for just a little bit every single day? And then maybe a little bit more. And then maybe a little bit more. But it starts at the 1 minute. I'm going to give God 1 minute today. And then I'm going to give him two. And then I'm going to give him three. And if you do that with open arms and say, "Lord, I have come in this moment not for me, but for you. I have come that your Holy Spirit would fill me, that it would show me what truth really is, that I may proclaim your gospel and your truth to the world that is dying and is hungry." I've had some chances in my job to sit with some very, very interesting people. I've sat with Muslims and talked about Christ. It's a very scary thing. They're very educated. And one of the things that I was told one time that they do as part of what they need to do in life is go around and learn what other people believe. So they actually openly study other people's doctrines so that they may understand them. Not to worship our God, but how better to fight in a combative sort of way. That tore me this week because I have a hard enough time trying to sit and learn my own doctrine. Let alone other people's. Shame on me. I encourage you this week, as you walk with Christ, to think about those who gave their lives for the gospel, who gave their lives for where we are today. I like to read dead authors. I actually am not a big fan of reading a whole lot of modern authors. I know how they ended up in life. A.W. Tozer, definitely a Christian and Missionary Alliance man. I love everything that man writes, pretty much. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, really good book. The basics of the Christian faith. Sometimes we have to start over. The problem is that I fear that people aren't seeking Jesus like they should, and asking for his wisdom. The fear of failure, to go back to that for a second. I didn't win my discussions with the people that I've sat with 70% of the time. Whether it be atheists or Muslims or whoever it is that I get the opportunity in my job to sit with and talk with. I don't actually win most of those conversations. But I'm unwavering in what I believe. I'm unwavering that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to God outside of him, period. I don't fear that failure anymore because I've failed so many times that I've learned that just speaking to people about Jesus is success. you don't have to win the argument. You don't even have to turn them or convert them. We're not told to do that. That's God's job. We're just told to talk about Jesus to people. So that's my challenge for you this week, is can you just talk to one person about Jesus Christ this week? Just one. Doesn't matter if you win the argument. Just talk to him about Christ. You've already won. And watch what he does in your heart as he gives you a hunger to speak to more people about him. It is a beautiful thing. These men died singing, going to stakes to be burned, because they realized who Jesus is and that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And Christ does not look at us and say, well, you should have said it this way. Talk about Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit put words in your mouth this week to proclaim his righteousness and his truth to all people and all of creation. Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to end with this. The man who hears the word and immediately receives it, there is sometimes joy. Yet if he has no firm root in himself, it is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, because of the gospel, he immediately falls away. If you feel like you are not rooted in the truth, again, I am pointing to people in this room who can help you understand what the truth is, who would gladly spend some time with you. Because that day is going to come. And when it comes, I think it's going to be a shock to a lot of us, because I think it's just going to happen like that. And people in this country are going to be very confronted with, what do I do? Do I stand or do I cave? In Sunday school, we've been going over the Christian and Missionary Alliance Statement of Faith. So one of the things that we can do to learn is come to Sunday school. That's a shameless plug. And hear about what the Christian and Missionary Alliance is about. And as someone who has spent a lot of time in the Alliance and gone through ordination through them, I will tell you that this denomination has the truth. So I encourage you, go to the website, read through it. It doesn't take very long. Seek God, seek Christ above all things. Don't be afraid to talk to someone this week. One person, that's it, one person. Just one. You don't have to be victorious, just speak to them. Ask the Lord to show you what that means. If you have questions about your own salvation and if you have questions about your doctrine, please come see me, come see Tyler, come see Bob. I mean, there's so many of us in this room. People give their lives for the gospel. May we do the same. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the gospel, that you gave your very life that we may proclaim you to the nations. We have been commanded to go into this world and proclaim you. Nothing in Scripture told us that we had to wait until we had 6 years of college to understand you and then go and proclaim. We were told to proclaim you. Even if the only thing that we proclaim is that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I realize more than ever the depth of my depravity and what you died for. I am so unworthy, Lord. You are good, even when I am not. You are holy, even when I am not. You are righteous. You are true. You are pure. You are God. You are Almighty, the one who was and is and will reign forever. And there will be no end to your reign, the one who is coming again for us, the one who seeks us, the one who saves us, the one who calls us, the one who invites us. Break my heart, break these people's hearts. That as soldiers give their lives for our freedom, and as these martyrs have given their lives for your gospel that sets people free, may we not take that for granted. May we pursue you, for only you are good. Jesus, I love you. We love you. Praise be to you. In your holy and precious name, Jesus Christ, amen.